Welcome to the Summit Church Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit summitsanmarcos.com.
Come on, you may be seated. What exciting times that we live in. So good. You know, and I want you to connect some of those dots because I want to enter into a series that I just want to ask you this to start, I guess. What would it look like to live life without anxiety? What would it look like to live a life where even when you're challenged that you don't carry stress? Even under stressful, challenging situations that you could carry the peace of God? What's that look like? Is it possible? What happens when you're outnumbered? What happens when you're just feeling like you're overwhelmed? Is it possible? Because God says it is, and I believe God. And there's an expression that talks about that, you know, don't put the cart before the horse. Interesting, there's the horse over here too. Don't put the cart before the horse. And I think sometimes what happens is that in our doing, sometimes we put the cart before the horse, and we feel like that we're actually pushing the cart instead of having the horse pull us in a cart. Have you ever felt like that in life? Like you just feel like, I am going uphill both ways. Is it only me? Anybody? Am I relating to anyone? And I just want to unpack this one passage, and I want to start today, which I'm just going to touch the beginning and the end, and then next week we'll break it down and really unpack it. But I just feel like God's going to do something that's really powerful for us because he's called us to a better life. Philippians chapter 4, we're going to look at Philippians 4, 6, 7, 8, and 9. And in verse 6, he says, be anxious for nothing. Say nothing. I don't know, but that means nothing. I looked it up in the Greek, nothing. It's pretty powerful in the Hebrew, nothing. Yeah, it's awesome. Sign language, it's nothing. Just messing with you. Come on, lighten up. You're getting anxious now. You're like, is he going to preach? Is he opening Isaiah? Is he going to be here for 2 hours? Come on, lighten up. Like, no. Be anxious for nothing. Everything through prayer and supplication. And I think we've done a good job in the body of Christ to talk about that if we're going to live in a life without fear, without anxiety, that there has to be an exchange of prayer. There has to be. We have to go into prayer and exchange something in prayer. But have you ever felt like that you really did and you're like doing good or you got a revelation, you got something, but then it feels like it went backwards? You're like, what happened? I had it and it seems like it's gone. And I think this text kind of helps us to not only gain ground, but to keep that ground. So he talks about all these things in here. The peace of God will surpass our understanding and will guard our hearts and minds. And then he tells us 6 ways that that happens. And in verse 9, he says, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw from me, these do. Say, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. There's something we can do that actually shifts and changes our lives so that we don't carry anxiety and that we carry peace. That we're carriers. So I want to talk about that. And then what's that look like? It really looks like bold living, not fearful living, not anxiety, but bold living, being able to walk through. And that doesn't mean that David didn't have any apprehension or any kind of challenge inside of him when he boldly faced Goliath. It just means that he walked and moved in boldness when he had to face a Goliath. And that's what I'm believing over your lives, that no matter what you face, you'll carry something different to the table. So if we want fruit, then we have to be intentional about it. It doesn't just happen. You need to be intentional. And we have to plant seeds and we have to tend that. James 1:22 says, be doers of the word, not just hearers only, deceiving yourselves. If we think somehow that we can just think or learn something without taking action, that's wrong. If we think we're going to just take action without really learning, you know, zeal without knowledge isn't good, but knowledge without an application doesn't create wisdom. But wisdom's actually the application of knowledge. And we can walk and be wise. One of my mentors told me, he said that faith is not a substitute for wisdom. We need both. So we need to think differently if we're going to do something differently. If we approach life with the same way of thinking and think we're going to get a different change, we're wrong. If you do the same thing and expect different results, that's insanity. You have to do something different to create different results. So in Joshua, we just were talking about Joshua. Joseph was laying out, you know, talking about Joshua and the walls. And as the walls came down and God gave him the city, God told him and said in Joshua chapter 6, in verse 2, he said, "See, I've given you Jericho into your hand, the king and the mighty men of valor. March around the city." And he gave him instructions to march around for 6 days, to march around, but on the seventh day to do 7 laps around. But don't say anything for 6 days. So that is a challenge, because if you look at it as a military strategy, it does not make sense. And a lot of times God will ask us to do things that don't make sense. But still, God has told us, and we need to obey God. So they did, and in verse 20 of Joshua 6, it says, "The people shouted, and the priests blew the trumpets, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet that the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell flat. And the people went into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city." So we can talk about that celebration of that Jericho wall fall, but are you going to go into the city? Are you going to sit back and go, "Wow, God just knocked the wall down, great"? We need to go and take action and go into the city. God said, "Go into all the world." We need to go into all the world. Thank you for all those going on missions trips and teams. In 2 weeks, we'll do a missions meeting. Praise God. We need to go. We need to do something. Love, you don't just talk about it and say, "Honey, I love you." You demonstrate that love. Love has an action. It has an expression. It looks like something. I want to ask you, what does Joshua, the walls coming down, look like in your life? What's that look like to you? What's a victory? What's a win in your life? If you had to look at your life's mission and ministry, you say, "Oh, I'm not called to ministry." We're all called to ministry. "I'm not on a mission." We're all on a mission. Everyone has a mission and a ministry. When God speaks and says, "I'm sending my body out into light," he doesn't say it's the 1% that stand on a pulpit. They're just the trainers. If you went to the Super Bowl and the coaches went out and battled each other out on the Super Bowl, you'd go, "Why are the coaches on the field? Where's the players? Where's the people they trained? Are you here?" So we're all called. So your playing field, your mission field, it's, you know, like up here, you have teachers up here. We have teachers in the body. We need to go into, and professors, we need to go into the universities, go into the schools. We need to go into the educational systems and shine our light and be a light in those places. Amen? My wife was a kindergarten teacher, and I went in there with her, and I just did field trips. I just, like, when they were disobeying all the female teachers, I'd be like, "Line up!" And they're all like, daddy voices on the scene. It was cool. They'd all just, like, jump into motion. It was fun. But I was exhausted. But anyway, rude teachers. How do you do this all day? Women, moms, come on. My goodness. I was like, anyway. You know, I just want to say, in the educational system, though, those kids in her class one time, they got saved. And she said, "Who wants to get saved?" And they all raised their hand. Every one of them, one said, "Double me, Mrs. Jones. I want to get doubly saved." We need to rock our educational systems. We need to go into the businesses and shine. We need to go into government. We have Craig Garcia's going for the city council in this next election. You need to vote godly people into everything. If you don't vote, you lost your voice. Everyone needs a vote. Well, it's not an important election. Every election's an important election. You need to vote godly people into positions. Are you here? We need to be lights in every place, in city government, state government, national. We need to be in every area. We need to be in every different sphere of society, in our families. We need to be a light in our families, in the media. And even as they were talking about the media earlier, that's just a powerful thing. We need, in every single area. So you have some area for you to shine. You have something. And if you take that story in Joshua, there was something there in that story. You know, if you think about it, they marched around walls for 6 days and they looked at these walls. They had dead skulls, like shrunken heads kind of thing, all hanging from the walls, because anyone that tried to conquer the city, they would put them there. So if you're marching around and God said, "Don't speak," and you're looking and you're probably thinking, like, "That could be me. Those are all the people that tried to take the city. They're all these trophies hanging around here." But then they had to go, "No, I'm not going to even. God told me don't even say something. They're shouting at me. I can't even shout back and be like, 'Wait for 6 more days. Wait for 3 more days.'" And they're taunting them. And I can just imagine going, "Wait till tomorrow." You know what I mean? You. I don't know if there was sign language. They just said, don't talk. I don't know. I might have just gone. Just kept marching. I don't know. But they couldn't speak. You know why? Because God wanted them to focus on what he was going to do, not on what they were doing to try to intimidate him. You come through trials and intimidations in every sphere and area God calls you to, but will you lean on him for God's breakthrough? And God will give you the breakthrough. He'll give you words. He'll give you things to say, to speak. And at the end, he said, he didn't silence us forever. He just silenced them till that seventh day. And that seven was very critical, and it does represent, you know, we work at 6 days, but the seventh is the Lord's day. And we are the body of Christ. And there's times when we need to step out and let go of our agenda and connect with his agenda. And we get to speak when we're speaking for him. Our commentary is not important. His is very important. So what was the difference? Look at Joshua and Moses. Joshua was different than Moses. Moses was a little reluctant to receive some of God's directions. Told him, speak to the rock. Moses smacked the rock with a stick. Hello. Don't smack the rock. Speak to the rock. Hello. Don't beat people into the kingdom. Speak to them. Do what God's telling you to do. Be a voice. Be a mouthpiece. Joshua just, he did it. There was something that he had to do in this passage in verse 9. It says, these things which you've heard and learned and received and saw in me, these do. We have something, there's a these do, and we get to do those things. Ephesians 2:10 tells us about him, that he created good works, that we're his masterpieces. You're all so brilliant and beautiful in different ways. It's like, man, I could never do this stuff. Artists and dancers and musicians and, you know, order serving, people who serve, people who teach. We're all different, but you are a masterpiece. You go wherever you're called to go. But he said that we're his masterpieces, created in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 2:10, to do good works that he prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. If we're celebrating the fall of the walls and we're sitting here and we're celebrating all these things in Israel, there's something happening. We would just be lame not to recognize God is prophetically doing something in our day and in our hour, and we need to get ready to go in to whatever he's telling us to do. Because God's going to do something that's so incredible through you. It's not a God's going to do, okay, let's sit back and watch. It's like God's going to do, gear up, buckle up, tie your shoes, get ready for a change, to have your minds transformed. Most people see an obstacle in life and they take their focus off the objective. We need to not let anything distract us off of our objective. If militarily, if you go in, they give you one objective. So there's a lot of things to do, but here's one objective. If you lose everything, this is the one thing that we need to do. You know, scientists have proven that our thoughts really do determine a lot in our bodies. They send these signals through our body and whatever, the neurons and all this stuff and whatever. The fire of God goes through your body. And it sends signals. Can I tell you, it affects every part of your body. It affects your digestive tract. People are stressed out and they have like ulcers. It affects your sleep. You know, you have 50,000 thoughts a day. None of them are neutral. They're positive or negative. And if you have 50,000 negative thoughts, it's going to mess your body up and mess your sleep up and everything else. If you have 45,000, I would just say maybe that would mess you up too. How many of those thoughts are going to be positive? See, this is where the discipline comes in. That's where we're going to go in a few days to help you. It's not hard. It's just you need to identify it and say, why have I been looking over here and I keep getting, you know, I ride a mountain bike. I'm paying attention to where I'm going. There's branches. We're riding down a mountain, flying down a trail. I am watching where I'm going. I took Teresa. She went down Mammoth Mountain on her first mountain bike ride from the cornice all the way down the mountain. She was an animal. Awesome. Somebody, come on. Whew, she dies with sharks, jumps out of airplanes. I love my wife. We're going down this mountain. There's trees. If you went an inch that way, it hit your handlebars. Boom, you're going down. She wasn't happy about that forest with the white trees we went through. That was a pretty skinny trail. But you got to keep your eyes on the trail. You got to pay attention. You got to look at the objective. And we got to know that we're getting so caught up with every side issue. Can I just tell you, we're not supposed to get caught up with all these side issues. What's God doing? Let's celebrate what God's doing. We will miss it. We'll be so looking at the dust that flew off the walls that came down. We won't go in and do what he told us to do, is to go in and take dominion, go in and establish his kingdom, go in and shed a light. We're all caught up in a fight instead of, they didn't have to fight. They didn't have to use their swords. God did the fighting. They were supposed to do the lighting. They're supposed to go in and shine. We're supposed to shine. And we need to sometimes zip it and shut it and stop voicing all of our frustrations, because you're just creating more negative thoughts, and your body will produce what you're. Too much to say, no time left. So it's a challenge. How much peace do you want? How much do you really want it? How bad do you want it? Somebody going to the Olympics, how much do they really want it? Can I just tell you, when you watch the Olympic champions and they're like sitting in their headphones doing their thing, and you see them doing this and doing that before the Olympics, anybody see that? Downhill skiers and stuff. They're visualizing every turn and every move. They're already thinking about being the champion before they were ever the champion. So if you're not thinking it first, you're putting the cart before the horse. You're trying to do it before you're really thinking it. We let God transform our thinking and learn how to keep focused on God thoughts. And if we can't do that, we're gonna end up putting the cart before the horse. So I just feel like Joshua's first command is so prophetic. What's the first thing? Can you imagine having to be the leader after Moses? Really? It's like, you want me to lead after Moses? That was a challenge for Joshua. You know what God told Joshua? Joshua 1:8, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do it. Did he say, I want you to do the stuff I want you to do and come home and meditate? No, he said, meditate first and then do. The point is that we need to have our minds transformed and have a different way of thinking before we try to do stuff. And if all we're doing is doing, and we're not listening and meditating and really letting our minds be transformed, we won't have success. But God gave him the key to success, and he did for us just as well. And he told us, Romans 12, we can read it, how he tells us how we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. How many know the Word of God transforms our minds? We're transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we can prove what is the good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. God's approach to our renewed minds is through the power of his word, transforming, resulting in transformed lives. We got that. I hope you have that. If that's new, you need to get a hold of that, because that word of God transforming us is so powerful. But then we take, and now after your mind's been transformed, you still have 50,000 thoughts every day you get to steward. How are you stewarding those little puppies? 50,000, what are you doing with them? Where are you letting them run? Where are they going? Do you just let them race off? Because if you can take those thoughts captive and put them under the obedience of Christ, if you can put them under the word of God, if you can change your thinking and go, you know, like we're riding mountain bikes, if you look off the trail, you go down where you look. If you're on the freeway and you keep looking over there, your car is going to go over there. Where are you focusing? Are you focusing on who's getting laid off, what's happening, all the bad that's happening? We need to look at that stuff just so that we can look at it and pray and go back into prayer and pray what God wants to do with the stuff that's all messed up. You with me? So that's how you take it and you put it under the Word of God and you say, this is what God says. And we need to learn the Word of God for what he says about things and then declare it and speak it. Huh, it's going to be good. And keeping the peace is really interesting. And I'll close with this little nugget. Number two is we need to keep the peace that we've obtained. Verse 7 talks about the peace of God which surpasses our understanding will guard your heart. And this peace, it's interesting is that I talked about that, how there was this peace that he describes, this anxious for nothing by everything by prayer and supplication. That prayer is an exchange where we exchange our fears for his faith, where we get boldness, where we had weakness, where we walk in this boldness and we get this thing. But then he talks about this possessing, where he talks about it, and he talks about that peace of God. Now, we get that peace in context of being transformed, but then we need to possess it and hold on to it. And the second half, Philippians 4:7 says that peace will surpass understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. And this is where God comes in and just overpowers all your fears. This is where the Jericho comes in today, that we need to allow not only the ground that we've taken, we need to take the ground to get our minds transformed. We need to hold on to the ground and not let our random thoughts take us to where we're losing all the ground we just gained. You spend a quiet time with God, you get your mind transformed, you walk into your day, but now you got 50,000 thoughts you get to steward. Are you getting this? So you need to learn how to steward those thoughts and learn how to take those rebellious thoughts and grab them and say, not even going to go there. I walked around Jericho and I'm looking at the things. Oh, we're all going to die. And someone's like, shut up. God said, maybe said politely, please don't speak with a British accent. But hold it together because God will take them out. You know, I mean, I'm just saying, grab those thoughts and we got to pull them back together and put them under the blood of Jesus. And as we do, and that is militant, it's not passive. And the peace that we talk about, the God's peace. Now, this is what's so beautiful, and I'm really going to let them sing this song. It's going to be beautiful. I'm going to have you stand, and we're going to end. And I'm going to believe for you that over this next part, that God's going to shift things and change things in your life. And this is what's so beautiful about this. Because I couldn't figure out, why are you talking about Jericho when I'm trying to talk about our thoughts? Can I just tell you this? Jericho, what was Jericho? When you think of Jericho, what's the first thing you think of? Walls, right? Isn't it? Jericho's walls fell down. Really, it created a momentum for God's kingdom to be established in that whole area that everybody heard about. We're celebrating that Jericho fall in history, but God's going to do something in the world around us that's going to release momentum for the body of Christ like you've never seen. And it's powerful. And the term that I was pulling out of this, when I was pulling it out of Philippians chapter 4, it's a picture, and what happens is what he says is when he says God will guard you, what it literally is it means that God will take you, and he will put you in his fortress. It means when you're going through something and you just turn to God and say, God, they say people are getting laid off left and right, but I'm yours. I will go wherever you... He takes and puts you in his fortress. When you're facing something and say, this professor is probably going to fail me because now they know what I believe in, he will put you in his fortress. When you're looking at a business thing and you're saying, I know you're telling me to do this, but it's risky, God. And he'll put you, he'll grab you, and he'll garrison you. He'll put you in his fortress, and that's what it means. He will keep you. If you'll lean to him and look to him, instead of looking at the fear, just like they looked and said, God's going to just smoke this city. The walls are coming down. It's going to be toast. And we're going to go in and possess it. God's about ready to tear down your walls. Would you stand with me? I don't know what those walls represent in your life because they look different all around this room. But I just believe, and I want you to believe, that God's going to use you in a greater way wherever he's called you. So forget labeling. Forget about just what someone else. What's your mission and ministry? If you don't know it, maybe that's your first step, is to say, I just need to get past me not believing in me and believe in me like God believes in me. I need to start thinking God's thoughts, that he looks at me as his favorite child. So I just pray over your minds right now. I pray that you would just tear down every stronghold, that you tear down every fear. I pray, God, that you would take them and place them and seat them, as Ephesians 2 says, in the heavenly realms, that you would seat them with you, that you would guard them in that peace. That not only would we gain ground as we read the Word of God and as we have our minds transformed, but that we would be able to find that peace and presence wherever we go. We would take it with us. And God, that you would put us, garrison us, surround us, to keep us in your perfect peace. We just thank you for it, Lord. We bless you for it. And I pray right now, I want you, because just hang on a moment. Just let God go personal with you. What is it he needs to break? What is it? What's the wall he needs to have come down? I just celebrate what you did way back there in the natural. And it was a spiritual breakthrough, but I pray for the spiritual breakthrough. I pray for their Jericho to fall. I thank you that you tear it down. I thank you. Some of you feel insignificant and you're saying, well, I'm getting older. Well, if you read your Bible, Moses was questioning a lot of stuff, but God used him in a powerful way. Some of you are saying, I'm too young. Well, you know, there's a whole list of people that were really young, and the disciples, look at Jeremiah. I mean, we can go through a list. Look at Gideon. You could say, well, I'm just the weakest. Look at Gideon. You could say, whatever excuse you have, God will give you an example in the Bible to show you there's no excuse. You're all called to the playing field. You're all important. And everywhere you are is important. You say, well, I've had these kids. I feel like I'm just burdened down. I want to do something great. Those kids are great. Those kids are your mission right now. And it may shift in another season, but right now, those kids are your mission. Those kids are awesome. Those kids, that is a ministry, a huge ministry. And you need to just release the light of God in their lives. Release them like arrows in the hands of a warrior. Bless those children. Bless them. Whatever sphere of life you're in, I pray, God, tear down every wall and every limitation in their lives. And I thank you. Would you pray this prayer with me and just say, Father, all over the room, would you pray this prayer with me and just say, Father, forgive my sins. Come on, everybody say, forgive my sins because of the blood of Jesus. Take my fears and fill me with your faith. Fill me with your spirit. Now I pray for you right now. I pray God would put you in that secret place. I pray you would learn how to find that place of his presence where you can grab it. I pray that he gives you the skills and abilities to take every wild thought captive. See, there's something happening all over this place because there's something God's doing. There was a prophetic word today that God's going to give you creative ideas. He's going to give you inventions and really unique inventions and ideas. Even people who think God could never use me, but God's going to use you and he's going to fund his kingdom advancement. He's going to use you to change the world around you. He's going to give you open doors to be the ones who change and shift society. And I'm not just speaking to men. That's such a, but my goodness, that's a doctrine from the devil. God uses women. He could eliminate half the ministers on earth if he just goes into a male doctrine. That's so messed up. But God's going to use men, women, children, young, old, in every area. And I pray, God, that you would just breathe on them life. I pray they could dream again. I don't know what squished it, but I pray the walls would come down when you're dreaming. Joseph was a dreamer and he had bad circumstance, but he did not limit God. He kept leaning towards, and God took him from the prison to the palace in a day. God is shifting your day. Today's your day. He's shifting it. Dream again. Think big. Start making different declarations. Tear down every small thought. If you think, well, you can fulfill, you go, well, I don't know. That sounds crazy. That's probably God. That's probably God. God's probably sounds like you can't do it. Jericho was beyond their brains. God, that's probably God thinking when it's beyond our thinking. If it's doable in our own natural, it's probably us. God, I pray you'd help them to dream. I pray you'd breathe on them. And I pray that it would just start today. Please don't be like Ezekiel when he said, can these bones live? And Ezekiel said, you know, God. Don't play it safe. Dream. Dream again. Dream again. Start to just say, yes, God. Yes, God. These dead bones can live again. My dead dreams can rise again. They can be accomplished. They can be accomplished now. I still have breath, God. Yes, they can live. Yes, my dreams can come to life. Yes, they can become a mighty army for you. Yes, they can march on beyond my ability. I thank you, God, right now for every dream and every person that's in this room. And we honor you, God, and we bless you. And I want you just to just soak in that for a moment and just take it in. And we're going to spend 2 more minutes and just let this song just help it resonate. The psalmist said, let thy word that God, that may I hide it in my heart that I may not sin against thee. We need to take the word and hide it in our hearts. So just let it soak in for a moment.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Be sure to visit summitsanmarcos.com for other exciting content from Summit Church.